and my house, we will serve you, Lord, lifting holy hands in worship. We will not bow down to the gods of man. We will worship the God of Israel. You are holy. For you are holy. Holy. There is no one else like you. For you are holy. Holy. There is no one else like you. As for me and my house, we will serve you, Lord, lifting holy hands. We will not bow down to the gods of man. We will worship the God of Israel. will serve you, Lord, lifting holy hands in worship. We will not bow down to the gods of man. We will worship the God of Israel.
And when he rose up and sees the angels putting on their heads, thunder and his footsteps of lightning in his fist. And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Happy Friday, everybody.
Sing a little louder than that. Here we go again.
Singers are tired. The church, as we know it, is losing its fire. And some are discouraged from bearing the load. But we must determine to keep pressing on. 'Cause it's just one more soul we're to walk down the aisle. Every struggle, it would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all. If it rescues just one more soul. So preachers keep preaching, and singers go sing, and laymen keep sharing that Jesus is King. The angels have gathered, they're surrounding. sing for just one more soul. Cause in just one more soul, were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth every struggle. It would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul.
Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Friday, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, the FDA approves Elon Musk's Neuralink. As the race to begin microchipping human beings is now officially underway. In case you haven't been paying attention, the global community of science, so-called, Silicon Valley and nearly all world governments have been absolutely obsessed with injecting things into human beings. We have just lived through the most contentious period of time in modern history, where hundreds of millions of people were locked down against their will and forced to receive an injection from their government. Now, Donald Trump takes the lion's share of credit for all this. The world's richest man, Elon Musk, has government approval to begin installing microchips into people's brains with his Neuralink technology. It almost makes you think that all these unsaved people might have been reading the book of Revelation, doesn't it? Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17. And he, Antichrist, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, the world is rushing headlong and at breakneck speed into the soon-coming Mark of the Beast. Is Neuralink the Mark of the Beast? No. But it's one of the many end-times bridges that will take you there. We're in the final stages of preparations that have been made over the last 30 years or so to put in place the Mark of the Beast system. And it is stunning to take it all in. As Elon Musk has famously said, we are already become part cyborg. And that's due to the adoption of mobile devices and our dependence on things like the internet and social media. The last thing that was needed was a superintelligence to bring it all together, and AI is meeting that need quite nicely. On this episode, we're going to show you just how close we truly are to what comes next. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, God. And we come before you as your body, the church, as your kids. And Father God, we're glad, we're grateful that you woke us up today, that you put food on the table and clothes on our back and a roof over our head. And today we pray for people in need of salvation. Deborah Milton is praying for her son, Billy. Hap Nightingale praying for his sons, Jimmy and Zach. Tricia praying for her co-workers, especially Officer Davis. Colonial Man would like salvation prayers for Don Huff, Claire, and Virginia. Norman Merkel is praying for his daughter Kara, granddaughter Ava, and son-in-law Stephen Matthews, and for Lynette Crew. Mike Crabb is praying for Trevin. Henrik Larson would like salvation prayers for Kygel and Elizabeth, his sister and her spouse, Ingrid and Frederick, his mom's Aunt Barrett, who is 95 and still going strong. Roz is praying for lost family members. Brian needs to get saved, and Andrew Whittington needs to get saved. People who need a healing today, we are continually praying for Anetta. And she had a stroke last year, and on many levels, she's doing great. She just needs to be able to have her left arm and her left leg working again so that she can be mobile on her own, and we're praying for that. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease. Rob Beatty, he's, as you know, he is going through a number of health challenges, and we are praying for him. We did an article. He was in a rough situation. He's a veteran, and he gets VA benefits, but those benefits don't start for another couple of weeks, and he was wondering how he was going to pay his bills, and I told him that we would be glad to let our tens of thousands of daily readers know about his plight. And we raised $10,000 for him over the last 24 hours. And so I personally want to thank everybody who donated to that. That means a lot to me. Rob has been a friend of mine for a long time. But Rob Beatty is very glad and very grateful, and he wanted me to relay to everybody how thankful he is for the support of his NTEB family. And I told him that's exactly what family does. Clayton Perry going through the side effects of chemotherapy. Aaron Riddle's sister Tracy has metastatic breast cancer. Shira Shine has ongoing health issues. We're also praying for her children, Nicole, Sherry, and Scott. Maddie Luck is dealing with Lewy body dementia, but she's in great spirits. Jill Puckett needs prayer because she's losing her vision. Rebecca Lynn is praying for Joel Smith to get saved. Linda is praying for Hannah's mom, who is very sick after getting blood clots. Natalie and her husband, Ken, both have health issues. Patricia Alliston would like prayers for her husband, Ron, who has cancer. Sharon Hansen, and she has periods of confusion, and she's living in a assisted living facility. But again, she's in very good spirits. I speak with her about once a week. Gary, my friend Carrick from Pennsylvania, has been diagnosed with MS. Dina Kruger asks us to continually pray for her friend Katrina with her brain issues. And she has a husband and a daughter. And Dina says, also, please remember my son Jordan Shapiro for salvation and my mom Marcy, who's undergoing radiation for colon cancer. We are praying for Patty and Jerry Rogalski for health issues. We're praying for Cindy Kettlecamp's daughter, Brooke. We're praying for Angel's mom, Rosemary, who is in a hospice, and we're just praying that the Lord will take her home. Krista, that's a friend of mine that I've known for quite some time, and she told me a few weeks ago that she has been getting chemotherapy for a tumor that is wrapped around five of her ribs, and we're praying for a healing there. Dan Kane, please pray for my wife Roxy with MS and my son Jonathan. Mona has a longtime friend who needs to get on the transplant list. We have been praying for Amanda and Mike with some serious spiritual battles. And they stopped by the bookstore yesterday to say hi, and it was a pleasure spending time with them. And of course, we talked about Bible prophecy and the time of Jacob's trouble and the entire end times timeline. And little Marty Dog, oh, she was full of it yesterday. She is recovering nicely, and she looked great. She looked great. Speaking of dogs, Dara's dog, Bella, we are praying for her. She has a tumor and she's getting surgery on Tuesday. Sharon DeGanius has ongoing health issues. Annette has a torn meniscus in her left knee. Bobby Mathias says, please pray for my mom and her health issues. Kelly Hollowell, if you're listening, we are praying for you. And we really hope that the Lord gives you a swift and full healing. And she was in an accident and shattered her arm. She couldn't, her and her husband couldn't make it to the camp meeting. And she wound up getting her elbow rebuilt with 12 pins put in her arm. Chuck, he said, would you please pray for me? He needs to get on dialysis. Peggy Caulfield, thank you for praying for my mom, Dorcas Foreman. And Paul Caulfield, type 1 sugar diabetes. Lulu says her legs are getting better. And that is a blessing, and we're continuing to pray for her. Marianne Ellie, please pray for my kids, John, Anne Marie, and Christine to get saved. And my grandkids, Sophia, Jacob, David, and Katrina. Carol from Georgia, please pray for Uncle Marion with terminal cancer. Also for Aunt Jo, who's 100 years old, and unsaved cousins in New Mexico. Carolyn Marks needs to get on the prayer list. She says, I have a painful lump that has reappeared. You are on the list, and we will continue to pray for you. Rhiannon says, my sister's father-in-law collapsed. They said it was low potassium. He wound up on dialysis. He is an unsaved Catholic, and he has minimal brain activity. It is a worst-case scenario. And we are praying for him that God would do something. Even in that situation, is God able to turn that around? He absolutely is. So pray for that man, Lester, to get saved, and pray for him to get healed, and that God would send in the right people at the right time to get something done. I don't know what needs to be done, but God does. Shira Shine's daughter, Nicole, had surgery on Tuesday for carcinoma on her scalp, and pray for a healing. Wade Thiessen, my wife, Kernessa, she went into surgery a few hours ago. And Wade, if you're listening, please send me an update on your wife's surgery. But we've been praying for her since last week. And he says that it's a level 1 hysterectomy. And we're praying that the cancer did not spread. Ralph and Tracy Wallace, please pray for my son-in-law, Ethan, my daughter, Shayna, and grandson, Caden. Also salvation for Ethan and Shanna to come back to the Lord. Mike Hensel, he had plates and screws removed yesterday. If you're listening, brother, please give a update in the chat room. But he had those things done to prepare himself for knee replacement surgery. And we're praying for that. Also, Gail, who works at the bookstore, June 13th, she's having hip replacement surgery, as is my friend Ethan. And please also pray for Trisha's hip. And she has been working with her doctor to decide what's the next step to do. So for all these people who are battling joint and bone issues, please keep that in your prayer. Harmon's son, Michael, now has colon cancer. And he said, would you please pray for that? And I said, absolutely. Derek O'Reilly, his grandmother Rose passed away. And, you know, he was messaging me while she was getting ready to go. And he was asking me what type of scriptures should I read? Mike Hensel says he's having the screws and plates removed next Thursday. Okay, very good. But Derek O'Reilly was asking me, what type of scriptures do I read? And I said, read John chapter 10, read Song of Solomon chapter 2. And he did. and he saturated her hospice room with King James scripture. And then she went home to be with the Lord, and he said, "What scripture should I read at the funeral service?" I said, "Psalm 23. And what a blessing it is that we have a book that comforts us at a time like that. Jennifer says, update to my prayer request, please. Thank you so much for anybody who prayed for me. Please continue to pray for God's healing with this wonderful natural regenerative treatment that I've been receiving and for my health situation. Amen. Daniel Ballou needs healing for a damaged vocal cord. And that reminds me, please pray for my vocal cords as well. Thank you. But please pray for Daniel Ballou with a damaged vocal cord. Carol Morin. I've been feeling sluggish all day. Felt like I had a fever. Actually, this is from last week, and I'm going to take that off. Amen. Pregnancies. Elena Blackburn with baby Beckham. And Trisha let us know what was going on yesterday. It was a potential really, really, really huge situation. The valve in her heart that should stay open until birth prematurely closed. And Trisha said that it was just an act of God, because Elena was not, and I hope I have this right, but Elena was not supposed to be in for a checkup, but she was. She just happened to be there anyway. And they caught this really huge thing, which would have been disastrous. And now she's getting ready to have a C-section. She's at 33 weeks, and that is plenty. That's not good English. Not plenty. That is, 33 weeks is, you can comfortably give birth at 33 weeks. The baby is mature. Not fully mature, but it's a whole lot better than anything in the 20 weeks. So, she's in good spirits. Yeah, Trisha says the appointment was a fluke. The first cardiology ultrasound was fine, so this one should not have been scheduled, but God made it to be scheduled. And that is what I always say about the importance of all of us praying for each other. We have had Elena on this list, I'm going to say, for 6 or 7 months. And since we started the list, 9 other ladies, including my own daughter, Kelsey, have been added to the list. We have 10 ladies on this list now. And this is why we pray about these things, so that God will work and move and protect and lead and guide. And what happened with baby Beckham and the unscheduled cardiology ultrasound that just happened to take place, that's a miracle. And that was a huge, huge, huge thing. So that's a praise report for Elena and baby Beckham. My daughter Kelsey is doing well. She's expecting to give birth July 22nd, Erin Riddle. She has a July due date, Gary Tatterson's daughter Kayla. Her due date is June 14th. She's having twins. Joe and Linda LaPiana's daughter-in-law and son are expecting. April's niece Shelby she's had some cervical problems, but she's been on bed rest and she's doing well. Terry Bryant's daughter Jillian, Heather's daughter is pregnant and unsaved. Pray for Heather's daughter to get saved. Shira Shine's daughter-in-law is expecting and due in December. And Cindy and Steve Brett says, please add our granddaughter to the pregnant mom list. She has an 18-month-old baby girl, and she is pregnant with the second child and having morning sickness, which I don't know why they call it morning sickness, because it can happen any hour of the day or night. But please pray for Cindy and Steve Britt's daughter and for all the ladies on the prayer list for pregnancy. Mark Saxo would like his son Joseph to return to the Lord. Aunt Nancy praying for Brandon and Michelle to get saved. Leslie needs the Lord to order and reorder a urgent $1 million financial situation. Palmetto State guy would like Palmetto State guy would like continued prayers for Mom Eunice and Father Paul. Health issues. Joni praying salvation for Ashley, Clint, Ember, Knox, Lucas, Brian, Mary, and Dee. My son Calvin needs prayer. Jill Hall is praying for Carly. Elena and Milena, we are just, they got witnessed to for an entire year. We are going to wish them well as they go back to Spain and Italy. And just pray for Elena and Milena to get saved. Jeanette says, I still need a weekend caregiver. Cindy Kettlecamp, please pray for my son Josh facing a career decision. Well, he's faced with two job opportunities for two exceptional jobs, and he needs wisdom to know which one to pick. Heather says, I've recently relapsed and gone back to smoking pot. Please put me on the prayer list. Amen. Jeanette says, I got, that's a praise report about the Bibles for her friend Joy. All right. Brenda says, please pray for my husband, Mike, who is an alcoholic, who is saved and to get off the bottle. And amen to that. People with an unspoken, the LaPiana family, Jeanette, Marie C., Adrian P. Breda, Chris Hart, Kate, John Bayor, Haley and Dan, Dr. Shirley, Jericho, Henry Biggs, Debbie, Dana Bragdon, I have one, and Lori has one. And that's the list. Let's see what we have in the chat room this morning. Jill says, please pray for my son Grant to get in to see his endocrinologist much sooner. He needs to get in very soon. Charlie, please pray for my sister-in-law Melissa, who has breast cancer. Phyllis, would you please pray for my daughter Amber? She had surgery on her ankle and needs relief from the pain. Amen. Mike 1611, please pray for our upcoming revival meetings. Amen. Diane says, I have a bad back and a neck with a titanium plate and screws, which must stay forever, and a donor bone as a spacer. And my pain is coming back because she has fallen a few times. So please pray for that. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We praise you for all these people in the chat room. The hundreds and hundreds of people who are listening live, the thousands who will listen in the archives. And Lord, we pray for everybody who needs a healing that you would work and move, people who need to be saved, people who need to be reconciled, people who need to, they need the job, they need the place to live, they need favor in a court of law, ten ladies who are pregnant. And we pray your special blessing on every one of those babies. And God, we thank you so much for alerting the cardiologist to the situation with baby Beckham. And we love to see you work, God. We love to see you move. And Lord, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we just thank you and we praise you and we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, happy Friday, everybody. Welcome. Glad to see a full chat room. And what are we talking about today? We're talking about Elon Musk. We're talking about the Neuralink implantable brain chip. There's a lot going on today. So let's see what's happening with Mr. Musk and his human implantable microchip that he wants to give to the world. Isn't that nice of him? Isn't that great? If you had $200 billion, Wouldn't you just like to stick a microchip in people? Well, we're going to talk about that, but take a listen to this.
Elon Musk's brain implant company Neuralink said on Thursday it had been given a green light from the US FDA to kickstart its first-in-human clinical study. It's a critical milestone for Neuralink after earlier struggles to gain approval.
We're confident that it is possible to restore full-body functionality.
On at least four occasions since 2019, Musk has said his medical device company would begin human trials for brain implant to treat severe conditions such as paralysis and blindness. Yet the company only sought Food and Drug Administration approval in early 2022, and the agency rejected the application, sources linked to the company told Reuters in March. The sources said the FDA had pointed out several concerns to Neuralink that needed to be addressed before sanctioning human trials. They include the device's battery, as well as safety issues surrounding its wires and the protection of brain tissue.
What about the monkeys?
Thursday's FDA approval comes as U.S. lawmakers are urging regulators to investigate the oversight of animal testing at Neuralink. The company has already been the subject of federal probes, including at least one linked to animal testing and treatment. In a tweet on Thursday, Neuralink said it was excited to share the news of the approval, but that it's not yet recruiting for a clinical trial. Over the years, Musk has publicly outlined an ambitious plan for Neuralink. He envisions its devices to cure a range of conditions, from obesity, autism, depression, schizophrenia, to enabling web browsing and even telepathy, and that both disabled and healthy individuals would be swiftly getting surgical implants at local centers. Neuralink and the FDA did not immediately respond to a Reuters request for comment.
So there you have an update from Elon Musk and his Neuralink brain chip. If you remember, we did an article back in April of 2021, and this was the title: Neuralink chip implant allows monkey to play video game Pong using only its brain as Elon Musk prepares to chip human brains next. So that was 3 years ago. And most of you have seen that video where the monkey is playing Pong and he's using a controller. And then halfway through the game, the monkey realizes that he doesn't need the controller, that he can do it with his mind. And when you watch this video, it is absolutely astonishing. When you watch that monkey who's playing this very simplistic original video game, and he realizes, wait a second, I don't need to use the controller. My mind can play this game. And they have the whole thing on video. I put the link into the chat room. If you're listening, you can just go to nowtheendbegins.com and just type in the word Neuralink, and this article will pop right up for you. And watch the video. See it for yourself. It is absolutely stunning.
Exchanges from inside the BBC, they talk about the risk of violating
India. Well, that wasn't the clip that I was looking for. Take a listen to this clip, also about Neuralink, but this video was made before Elon Musk got the FDA approval. Take a listen to what happens here.
I'm not sure the best way to understand this, except that what the neural net seems to mostly do is take a massive amount of information from reality primarily.
Can you imagine a small chip implanted in your brain that can wirelessly transmit and receive data from a computer? Insane, right? Elon Musk's new innovative technology could connect the human mind directly to devices. If this idea is successfully developed, it will be revolutionary in helping people with neurological conditions. Although the FDA has not given its blessings for Elon Musk's Neuralink brain computing business to implant its technology in humans, however, Neuralink's rival, Synchron, has successfully implanted its first device into the brain of a US patient. This is groundbreaking news that will usher in the new era in the fields of medicine and technology. But that is not everything. Stay tuned, because in this video we'll cover all the recent updates about the brain chip developed by Neuralink and Synchron, the results of their animal trials, and how this unique technology advancement will revolutionize human lives. Now, let's get right into the video. Elon Musk, and world's richest person and founder and CEO of PayPal, Tesla, and Neuralink, has no shortcomings when it comes to the innovative ideas that no one else can imagine. The genius entrepreneur brings forth unique concepts that build suspense and create excitement around his products. Recently, Elon Musk announced that Neuralink, his brain interface technology company, hopes to start implanting its microchips into humans next year. But Elon Musk was left behind in this race by a Neuralink competitor called Synchron. Synchron beats Elon Musk's Neuralink. Earlier this year...
All right, so I'm going to put that clip on hold for a second. I'm over at Neuralink.com. And this is what it says that their mission is. Our mission is to create a generalized brain interface to restore autonomy to those with unmet medical needs and to unlock human potential tomorrow. That's the mission of Neuralink. I'll read it again. Our mission is to create a generalized brain interface to restore autonomy to those with unmet medical needs today and unlock human potential tomorrow. Now, let me just, before we go deeply into this, and we will, let me just say that I understand that there's a lot of people with paralysis. We're praying for Anetta, and she had a stroke, and her left side is not cooperating. She struggles to move her left leg and her left arm. If she could have a brain implant put into her head that would restore that mobility, that would be an absolute blessing. That would be fantastic. And if she said to me, they think that the Neuralink brain chip will let me walk again, should I get it? My advice to her would be absolutely yes, go get that brain chip. If I was paralyzed and a brain implant chip would restore function, would I take it? I absolutely would, and so would you. The Neuralink brain chip is not the mark of the beast. Elon Musk is not the Antichrist. We are not in the time of Jacob's trouble. I would, if I was paralyzed, I would take that chip. There is no question about it. But every single one of you, I'm watching people in the chat room right now. Some people are saying that they would never take it. Well, if I was to reach into your wallet right now, do you have a credit card or a debit card with a microchip built into it? You do. Do you have a driver's license with a microchip built into it? Most of you do. I do. The car that I ride in has about 30 different chips. Now, why would I take the Neuralink brain implant chip? I would only take it if I was paralyzed. And this is how they begin to roll these things out. It starts with a good, there's a benefit to it. There's a good idea to it. And then it gets hijacked. But look, the COVID vaccine was not the mark of the beast. I didn't take that because I didn't need a COVID vaccine. But if you were paralyzed, now you think about this and you answer honestly, if you were paralyzed and a brain chip would restore autonomous function to you, would you take it? You know you would take it. Now, there would be nothing wrong in taking the Neuralink brain chip. Again, it's not the mark of the beast, and Elon Musk is not the Antichrist. But what are we watching? Turn to Daniel chapter 12. Turn to Daniel chapter 12. And I'll show you what we're watching. I'll show you what's going on right now. Turn to Daniel chapter 12. And we read in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, talking about the last half of the time of Jacob's trouble. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Talking about the great white throne judgment in Revelation 20. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Do you remember what it says in the book of Genesis about the Tower of Babel? Turn to Genesis chapter 11. Turn to Genesis chapter 11. And I'll show you the time period that we're living in right now. And this matches with Daniel 12:4 perfectly. Genesis 11, verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. So when they were building the Tower of Babel, there was a global one world society. Everybody lived in the same place. They were not separated by anything. They all had one language. It was the original one world global order. But it was a bad order. And God said in verse 6, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language. And now nothing will be restrained from them that they have imagined to do. Now, this is where we are right now. This is where we are right now. We have a global society. We have the New World Order. And we are operating as a one world society. Now, where can you go to get away from it? You cannot get away from it. Where can you go to get away from AI? Well, the only way you're going to get away from what's coming. Now, Ron Wooter is saying that most of the people in the chat room disagree with my decision, my hypothetical statement, that if I was paralyzed, I would take a brain chip. Yeah, I absolutely would, because if that would get me out of that bed and get me mobile, it would be silly not to. But everything is going to be connected to AI. So rather than running away from it, Heath says in the backwoods, you can escape most of it. No, you cannot. And this is something that you guys have to come to grips with. We are living in what it is about to become an AI-controlled world. Where can you go to get away from it? Nowhere. Now, let me see, by a show of hands, by everybody in the chat room,
I want to see how many people are willing right now to give up their mobile device. Let me see by a show of hands, just type yes or no. Let me see how many people in the chat room right now are willing to give up your mobile device. And I'm not talking hypothetically. I'm saying for real. No, not I would. How many people will give up their mobile device starting today? And again, this is not a hypothetical situation. Who here is going to give up their mobile device starting today? I don't see a single person saying that they're going to give up their mobile device. Because you can't. It is nearly impossible to live in this world without a mobile device. So, do you remember back in 2013 when I worked at Citibank? Let me see. Dennis says that there are people who said that they're going to give up their mobile device starting today. Show me. I would love to see that. But seriously, nobody is going to give up their mobile device because you cannot function in this society without it. It is impossible. You cannot do it. Mike Crabb says he's going to get rid of his mobile device. But then you can't go and use Bertha's. You can't use your wife's mobile device. But Daniel is asking if I'm trying to upset people. No. I am not trying to upset people. I am simply saying that you have to understand the world that we live in. And it is changing right now. Sorry, Berta, I mispronounced your name. The world that you know is changing. And it is changing very, very rapidly. And artificial intelligence is coming at you from every angle, from every direction. I opened up Photoshop yesterday. I've been using Photoshop for 20 years. And I opened it up yesterday and it contained an AI update. This is how fast stuff is changing. And in my role as Bible teacher, now Ron Wooter says maybe the world is changing, but we don't have to take a brain chip. Again, if you were paralyzed and couldn't walk and couldn't provide for your family, or your arms were paralyzed and you couldn't hold your children, would you take a brain chip? You know you would. But you have to have discernment. Jay Mama says, not sure if I believe the rapture will be before the 7-year tribulation or midpoint. I believe, as I have believed for the past 28 years, that the church will be removed in the pre-tribulation rapture prior to the start of the 7-year time of Jacob's trouble. There is no 7-year tribulation. People say that, but it is not true. There is a 3.5-year tribulation. There is a 7-year time of Jacob's trouble. So look, over the next couple of weeks and months, you are going to be inundated with artificial intelligence. It's going to come at you from every possible angle. It's going to be put into everything. And you do not want to have a knee-jerk reaction to these things, We're Bible believers. We don't run. We don't hide. We don't go off to a monastery. We don't go to the woods and live in a cabin because we're afraid of the world. Bible believers don't do that. We are called to the front lines of the end times. And if you have a King James Bible, if you read it and you believe it, then you're not going to be sucked in to things that are not true. And you're going to be aware, ready, and prepared for the things that are true. Now, when the lockdown started, when Donald Trump rolled out the vaccine, when he brought that to us and they attempted to force people to take it, I did not take it. And I told everybody that I knew to not take it. But I didn't not take it because I thought it was the mark of the beast. The reason why I didn't take it is I thought it would give me a stroke, or it would give me a heart attack, or it would give me myocarditis. The reason why I didn't take the vaccine was because of health reasons. I didn't want to die after taking it. But it was not the vaccine was not the mark of the beast. Now, we are living in a time, and I finally found this clip. It took me years. This clip that I'm about to play for you, it took me years to find this clip. An actual recording of David Rockefeller talking about the secret Bilderberg meetings and the conspiracy to keep it all quiet. Take a listen to this amazing clip.
1991 closed-door meeting of fellow internationalists. Billionaire and former CFR chairman David Rockefeller praised his media allies, but his confidence that his words would not leave the room was later broken.
We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other publications whose directors have attended our meetings and restricted their policies of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the right kind of publicity. But the world is now more sophisticated and prepared to march toward a world government.
It reveals that these men aimed to create a world system of financial control in private hands, able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the world as a whole. In short, they seek total and quiet control of the entire world. And the CFR is their most visible conduit for carrying out that agenda.
This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
So we are living in the time period talked about in Genesis chapter 11, Genesis chapter 49, Daniel chapter 12. And what are we watching? What are we seeing? We're watching the new world order come to life. We are watching a global society preparing the entire world for Antichrist. That's where we are right now. So believe me when I tell you that over the next couple of months, you are going to see AI popping up into absolutely everything. And anything that's connected to the internet, anything that is digital, It is going to be controlled by artificial intelligence. So you need to begin to understand what part of that that you can use and what part of that that you cannot use. And you need to have discernment. You need to have wisdom. We don't run. We don't hide. We're not like Chicken Little and, you know, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. That's not what we're called to do. The Bible says that we are to be as wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. And we're living in the midst of a perverse and crooked world. And so what do you do when all of this technology starts coming at you? Well, you know, at some point, I'm going to do a whole segment on just what's inside your mobile phone. And I think a lot of you aren't really aware of just how deep that rabbit hole goes. And there are things inside your phone that will absolutely blow your mind. And you might say, well, I turn those things off. They cannot be turned off. And sometime soon, we're going to do a whole podcast on just what your mobile phone, the average person's, you know, iPhone 10 or Android phone or Pixel phone or whatever it is, we're going to do a whole podcast on what you're actually carrying in your pocket. And I think it will be quite an eye-opener for a whole lot of people. But suffice to say that Elon Musk, he's rolling out his brain chip. And that brain chip is going to be connected to an app on a mobile phone. And all of the big billionaires, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, who else is there? Peter Thiel from PayPal. Every single one of these people, Mark Zuckerberg, every single one of these people are spending billions of dollars on human implantable technology, on altered reality and virtual reality and augmented reality devices. And everybody's getting ready to release something. And you're going to watch. You're going to watch what's going to happen. And it's going to be taking place over the next, 3, 4, 5, 6 months. Now, I caused a little bit of a stir in the chat room when I said that I feel that if I was crippled from an accident, would I take a brain chip that would let me walk again? And I feel that I probably would, because I would not want to be crippled. I was in a wheelchair for 2.5 years when I was a kid. I didn't walk one step one day for 2.5 years. And I don't know if any of you have ever been crippled, but I was. I was legitimately crippled as a child. And I did not walk for 2.5 years. And I don't ever want to go back to that situation. So if I was paralyzed from an accident, would I take the chip? Yep, I probably would. But let me tell you what I wouldn't do. I wouldn't play virtual reality games. I wouldn't put on these glasses that they have. Apple is getting ready to release. They have their annual technology convention every year. It's called WWDC. And they are getting ready to release something that they think might replace the iPhone. And it is these Well, I'll post a picture of it. Apple is getting ready to roll out artificial intelligence that you strap around your face. And CJ just said, skin for skin, all that a man will do for his skin. Someone else is asking me, didn't I say that grievous sores in Revelation might be linked to the chip? To the mark of the beast? Absolutely. Neuralink is not the mark of the beast. Neuralink is not the mark of the beast. I don't think you would get grievous sores from anything before the rapture takes place. I wouldn't worry about that. But again, you have to have discernment. You just can't pull the trigger on everything that comes down the pike because we don't need to pull the trigger on everything that comes down the pike. But you have to know what you can use and you have to know what you cannot use. Daniel says, how do I know that it's not the mark? Because I have a Bible. There is no mark of the beast without the beast. There is no mark of the beast without the beast. We have not been raptured. The man of sin has not been revealed. We are not going to be here for the mark of the beast. If the Bible is right, and I believe that it is, I have spent almost 30 years teaching about the timing of the end times. And Daniel says it could be one upgrade away. That's not how it works, Daniel. It works according to the Bible. And the Bible says that we are not appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are removed before that time period. We are removed before that time period. Do you remember a clip that I played a couple of years ago, I think 2 years ago, a man by the name of David E. Martin? How many of you recall that clip that I played from a man by the name of David E. Martin? And Rapture 57 says that this podcast has stirred up quite a few people. Well, it's good to be stirred up. And you got to make sure that you know any chance of Elon Musk being the Antichrist, zero. Absolutely zero. He doesn't qualify on any level. He's not part Jewish. He's not part Syrian. Elon Musk cannot possibly be the Antichrist. But again, we are not called to run down rabbit holes. We have a Bible that gives us absolute truth. And this is why we don't run around with a chicken like its head cut off. We don't have to fear everything that we see on TV. Daniel says it must be nice to know everything. Well, you need to check your attitude, brother, or we're going to take you out of the chat room. Don't want to have to do it, but you're developing a bad spirit. If you can stay and talk without being insulting, you're welcome. But you are on the watch list, my friend. Do you remember about a year and a half ago, I played a clip from a man by the name of David E. Martin, and he was talking about Anthony Fauci and the CDC, and they had applied for a patent on the SARS-CoV-2 virus. Does anybody remember that clip? The man's name is David E. Martin, and he exposed how Anthony Fauci applied for a patent on the SARS-CoV-2 coronavirus. Coronavirus. I have a new clip from him. And he spoke a couple of weeks ago at the International COVID Summit 2023 in front of the European Parliament. Take a listen to David Martin speaking in front of the International COVID Summit in front of the European Parliament a couple of weeks ago.
It is a particularly interesting location for me to be sitting today, given that over a decade ago, I sat in this very chair right here in the European Union Parliament. And at that time, I warned the world of what was coming. During that conversation that was hosted at the time by the Green and EFA and a number of the other parties of the European Union's various representations, we were having a conversation on whether Europe should adopt the United States policy of allowing for the patents on biologically derived materials. And at the time, I urged this body and I urged people around the world that the weaponization of nature against humanity had dire consequences. Tragically, I sit here today with that unfortunate line that I don't like to say, which I told you so. But the fact of the matter is, we're here not for a reprisal on past decisions. We're here to actually, once again, come to the face of the human condition and ask the question, who do we want to be? What do we want humanity to look like? And rather than seeing this as an exercise in futility, which is very easy from time to time when you're in the position I'm in, I actually see this not as an exercise in futility. I see this as one of the greatest opportunities that faces us, because we now have a public conversation, which is now front and center in people's minds. When this was an esoteric conversation about biological patents, nobody cared. But when that conversation came home, then it became something people can care about. So I'm actually quite grateful for this opportunity. I thank the members of Parliament for hosting this. I thank all of the translators who, I apologize in advance, I will use terminology that is probably very difficult to translate, so my apologies. And I'd also like to acknowledge the fact that many of you are aware of my involvement with this, in large part due to the amazing work of my wonderful wife, Kim Martin, who encouraged me at the very early days of this pandemic to get on front of the camera and talk about all the information that I had been sharing among very small groups around the world. And it was, in fact, her encouragement that put me in a place where many of you have heard what I have to say. Ironically, the world that I came from, that used to be very popular, my CNBC and Bloomberg presentations, which were televised on mainstream media around the world, was an audience that I lost. I can confidently say COVID diminished my fame. But I can also confidently say that I'd rather stand among the people with whom I'm standing today than any of the folks that were part of that previous world. So this is a much better place to be. My role today is to set the stage for this conversation in a historical context, because this did not come in the last 3 years. This did not come in the last 5 or 6 years. This actually is an ongoing question that probably began here in Europe in the early stages of the mid-1900s, but certainly by 1913, 1914, this conversation started right here in Central Europe. The pandemic that we alleged to have happened in the last few years also did not happen overnight. In fact, the very specific pandemic using coronavirus began in a very different time. And we'll try to advance the slides here with one of these things. Oh, there we go. Most of you don't know that coronavirus as a model of a pathogen was isolated in 1965.
So here we have David E. Martin, and he is a patent researcher, and he's speaking before the International COVID Summit of the European Parliament. and it was a couple of weeks ago. And he's the man who 2 years ago exposed the fact that Anthony Fauci and the CDC had a patent on the SARS-CoV-2 coronavirus. And it caused a huge problem. And they had it, the government had to do all sorts of denial and damage control. But this is what David Martin is talking about.
Coronavirus was identified in 1965 as one of the first infectious replicatable viral models that could be used to modify a series of other experiences of the human condition. It was isolated once upon a time associated with the common cold. But what's particularly interesting about its isolation in 1965 was that it was immediately identified as a pathogen that could be used and modified for a whole host of reasons. And you heard me correctly. That was 1965. And by the way, these slides are public domain. You're welcome to look at every single reference. Every comment that I made is based on published material. So do make sure that you look at those references. But in 1966, the very first COV coronavirus model was used as a transatlantic biological experiment in human manipulation. And you heard the date, 1966. I hope you're getting the point of what I'm saying. This is not an overnight thing. This is actually something that's been long in the making.
So the first point that David Martin wants to draw your attention to is that the pandemic may have started in 2020, but the preparations for this pandemic go all the way back to the 1960s. So is David Martin trying to make the point that what happened over the last 3 years had been planned for the last half of a century? Well, let's listen to see if he makes that point, but I think he's going to.
Before I was born, we had the first transatlantic coronavirus data sharing experiment between the United States and the United Kingdom. And in 1967, the year I was born, we did the first human trials on inoculating people with modified coronavirus. Isn't that amazing? 56 years ago, the overnight success of a pathogen that's been 56 years in engineering. And I want that to chill with all of you. Where were we when we actually allowed, in violation of biological and chemical weapons treaties, where were we as a human civilization when we thought it was an acceptable thing to do to take a pathogen for the United States and infect the world with it? Where was that conversation? And what should have been that conversation in 1967? That conversation wasn't had. Ironically, the common cold was turned into a chimera in the 1970s. And in 1975, 1976, and 1977, we started figuring out how to modify coronavirus by putting it into different animals, pigs and dogs. And not surprisingly, by the time we got to 1990, we found out that coronavirus as an infectious agent was an industrial problem for two primary industries.
So David Martin seems to be making the case that all the way back to the 1960s, things were being put in place to hijack the coronavirus and turn it into a bioweapon. That seems to be the point that he's making. Let's see if he continues with that.
The industries of dogs and pigs. Dog breeders and pigs found that coronavirus created gastrointestinal problems, and that became the basis for Pfizer's first spike protein vaccine patent filed, are you ready for this, in 1990. Did you hear?
I'm stopping that clip again. David Martin just told you that back in 1990, Pfizer had a patent for a vaccine dealing with the spike protein of the coronavirus. Now, I hope it's dawning on you what this man is actually saying. And again, Mike Crabb says, I think he's lying. Let me tell you why he's not lying. David Martin's whole job, he's not a doctor. He's not a scientist. David Martin researches the history of patents for a living. His only job is to track down the paper trail when something is patented. So, this is what he found when he tracked down that trail. He is a highly respected researcher, and he's not speaking in front of a partisan group of people. He's addressing the entire European Parliament. This is happening at the highest level.
What I just said, 1990, Operation Warp Speed, I'm sorry. Where's the warp and the speed? Pfizer, 1990, the very first spike protein vaccine for coronavirus. Isn't that fascinating? Isn't it fascinating that we were told that, well, the spike protein is a new thing. We just found out that that's the problem. No. As a matter of fact, we didn't just find out it was not just now the problem. We found that out in 1990 and filed the first patents on vaccines in 1990 for the spike protein of coronavirus. And who would have thought? Pfizer. Clearly, the innocent organization that does nothing but promote human health. Clearly, Pfizer, the organization that has not bought the votes in this chamber and in every chamber of every government around the world. Not that Pfizer. Certainly, they wouldn't have had anything to do with this. But, oh, yes, they did. And in
So what David Martin is telling you, that Donald Trump's warp speed vaccine program was a lie. David Martin is telling you that these vaccines were already produced before we even got into the year 2020. The whole thing was a setup. And you wonder why they were able to roll out these vaccines in only 5 months. The work had already been done years before.
1990, they found out that there was a problem with vaccines. They didn't work. You know why they didn't work? It turns out that coronavirus is a very malleable model. It transforms and it changes and it mutates over time. As a matter of fact, every publication on vaccines for coronavirus from 1990 until 2018, every single publication concluded that coronavirus escapes the vaccine impulse because it modifies and mutates too quickly for vaccines to be effective. And since 1990 to 2018, that is the published science, ladies and gentlemen. That's following the science. Following the science is their own indictment of their own programs that said it doesn't work. And there are thousands of publications to that effect, not a few hundred. And not paid for by pharmaceutical companies. These are publications that are independent scientific research that shows unequivocally, including efforts of the chimera modifications made by Ralph Baric and the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. All of them show vaccines do not work on coronavirus. That's the science. And that science has never been disputed. But then we had an interesting development in 2002, and this date is most important, because in 2002, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, patented, and I quote, an infectious replication defective clone of coronavirus. Listen to those words, infectious replication defective. What does that phrase actually mean? For those of you not familiar with language, let me unpack it for you. Infectious replication defective means a weapon. It means something meant to target an individual but not have collateral damage to other individuals. That's what infectious replication defective means.
So there you have it. David Martin just told you that the entire COVID-19 lockdown and everything associated with it, the whole thing was a setup. Every bit of it. The lockdowns, the masks, the standing 6 feet apart, rolling out the vaccines that were already prepared, knowing full well that there is no vaccine that would accomplish that. This is what David Martin is telling you.
And that patent was filed in 2002 on work funded by NIAID's Anthony Fauci from 1999 to 2002. And that work, patented at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, mysteriously preceded SARS 1.0 by a year. Dave, are you suggesting that SARS 1.0 wasn't from a wet market in Wuhan? Are you suggesting it might have come from a laboratory in the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill? No, I'm not suggesting it. I'm telling you that's the facts.
The Bible says in Psalms chapter 21, verse 11, "For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device which they are not able to perform." You know what David Martin is telling you in this stunning clip? He is calmly, rationally, and intelligently using the trail from patent information. He is proving that the COVID vaccine and the SARS-CoV-2 virus were created in a laboratory, and their only intention was to perform and function as a bioweapon. That's what David Martin is saying.
We engineered SARS. SARS is not a naturally occurring phenomenon. The naturally occurring phenomenon is called the common cold. It's called influenza-like illness. It's called gastroenteritis. That's the naturally occurring coronavirus. SARS is the research developed by humans weaponizing a life system model to actually attack human beings. And they patented it in 2002.
Today, May 26th of 2023, is day 1,166 of 15 days to flatten the curve. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write down that today, day 1,166, we learned that SARS-CoV-2 was patented as a bioweapon in 2002.
And in 2003, giant surprise, the CDC filed the patent on coronavirus isolated from humans in violation, once again, of biological and chemical weapons treaties and laws that we have in the United States. And I'm very, very precise on that.
And remember last year when I asked a couple of times, why didn't Donald Trump ever fire Anthony Fauci, the head of the CDC? Now you know why. The CDC filed the patent on SARS-CoV-2 with the spike protein in 2002, 21 years ago. This is why Anthony Fauci was untouchable, why nobody would get rid of this guy. That's how deep the rabbit hole goes.
The United States likes to talk about its rights and everything else and the rule of law and all the nonsense that we like to talk about. But we don't ratify treaties about, I don't know, defending humans. We conspicuously avoid that. We actually have a great track record of advocating for human rights and then denying them when it comes to actually being part of the international community, which is a slightly problematic thing. But let's get something very clear. When the CDC in April of 2003 filed the patent on SARS coronavirus isolated from humans, what did they do? They downloaded a sequence from China and filed a patent on it in the United States. Any of you familiar with biological and chemical weapons treaties knows that's a violation. That's a crime. That's not an innocent oops. That's a crime. And the United States Patent Office went as far as to reject that patent application on two occasions until the CDC decided to bribe the Patent Office to override the patent examiner to ultimately issue the patent in 2007.
Remember a few months ago when Tucker was still working for Fox News? And from time to time on this podcast, we would play a clip from Tucker. And remember how we always used to say that it was amazing that they were letting Tucker get away with saying some of the things that he was saying. And then all of a sudden they fired him, they dumped him, they got rid of him. Well, I think we should put David Martin on the prayer list. He doesn't have anything that he can be fired from. And remember, this clip is not an old clip. I just came across this clip 2 days ago. This talk that he gave for the European Parliament's International COVID Summit, this is just from a week or two ago. This is brand new. And I think we should put David Martin on the prayer list because he has made some serious enemies with what he's saying here.
On SARS coronavirus. But let's not let that get away from us, because it turns out that the RT-PCR, which was the test that we allegedly were going to use to identify the risks associated with coronavirus, was actually identified as a bioterrorism threat by me in the European Union-sponsored events in 2002 and 2003, 20 years ago. That happened here in Brussels and across Europe. In 2005, this particular pathogen was specifically labeled as a bioterrorism and bioweapon platform technology, described as such. That's not my terminology that I'm applying to it. It was actually described as a bioweapons platform technology in 2005. And from 2005 onwards, it was actually a biowarfare enabling agent, its official classification from 2005 forward. I don't know if that sounds like public health to you. Does it? Biological warfare enabling technology. That feels like not public health. That feels like not medicine. That feels like a weapon designed to take out humanity. That's what it feels like. And it feels like that because that's exactly what it is.
All right. I'm stopping the clip yet again. David Martin, one of the world's most foremost patent researchers. He's been around for many decades. He just told you in his own words that he has the smoking gun proof that SARS-CoV-2 was engineered as a bioweapon, and that the vaccine that they forced 5 billion people to be injected with, they knew the entire time that it did nothing to stop the gain-of-function virus that they had created. Do you realize the information that I'm giving you right now? David Martin is not some tinfoil hat-wearing person. David Martin's not a reporter from InfoWars. David Martin is one of the world's most respected patent researchers, and he just exposed COVID as a bioweapon, and he has the proof.
We have been lured into believing that EcoHealth Alliance and DARPA and all of these organizations are what we should be pointing to, but we've been specifically requested to ignore the facts. that over $10 billion have been funneled through black operations through the check of Anthony Fauci and a side-by-side ledger where NIAID has a balance sheet and next to it is a biodefense balance sheet equivalent dollar-for-dollar matching that no one in the media talks about. And it's been going on since 2005.
That nobody in the media talks about. You know that clip that we have? I've played it a million times. This program has been brought to you by Pfizer. I'll say one thing for Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, the CDC, and all the rest of these people. They may be some of the most evil people on the face of the earth, but you got to give the devil his due. They put the time in. They planned it out. They crossed their T's. They dotted their I's. They worked on this program for a minimum of 30 years. And then on March 16th of 2020, they flipped the switch and they locked down the entire world. And they unleashed this gain-of-function coronavirus that was patented in 2002. They unleashed it on the world.
Our gain-of-function moratorium, the moratorium that was supposed to freeze any efforts to do gain-of-function research. Conveniently, in the fall of 2014, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, received a letter from NIAID saying that while the gain-of-function moratorium on coronavirus in vivo should be suspended, because their grants had already been funded, they received an exemption. Did you hear what I just said? A biological weapons lab facility at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, received an exemption from the gain-of-function moratorium so that by 2016, we could publish the journal article that said, SARS coronavirus is poised for human emergence in 2016. And what, you might ask, Dave, was the coronavirus poised for human emergence? It was WIV1, Wuhan Institute of Virology Virus 1.
Do you remember where the very first reported case of COVID was in the United States? See how good your memory is. Where was the very first reported case of SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19, coronavirus, anywhere in the United States? If you guessed about 2 miles from Bill Gates' house in Washington State, you would be correct. Do you think that's a coincidence? Do you think that's an accident? Let's keep listening.
Poised for human emergence in 2016 at the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, such that by the time we get to 2017 and 2018, the following phrase entered into common parlance among the community. There is going to be an accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen. The operative word, obviously, in that phrase, the word release. Does that sound like leak? Does that sound like a bat and a pangolin went into a bar in the Wuhan market?
I'm going to stop him again. He started the timeline back in the 1960s, brought us through the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and took us all the way to the 2000s. He just referenced what was going on in 2016, 2017, and 2018. Do you remember what happened in 2019? Do you remember what event was planned also by Bill Gates, also by the CDC, also by Anthony Fauci? Do you remember what they did? in October of 2019, a little something called Event 201. That was the coming out party. That was the final preparations. The entire thing, all of it, the lockdowns, the injections, the hospital scenes, remember the dancing nurses and the dancing doctors? Totally fake. Totally scam. Now, did people really die from COVID? They absolutely did. Why did they die from COVID? Because it's a bioweapon. Every time you hear me cough on this program, that's the effects of me having COVID back in January. The only thing that wasn't fake about the entire situation was the virus. It's real, it's a bioweapon, and it does tremendous damage. And it was released intentionally.
And hung out and had sex, and lo and behold, we got SARS-CoV-2? No. Accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen was the terminology used. And four times in April of 2019, 7 months before the allegation of patient number one, four patent applications of Moderna were modified to include the term accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen as the justification for making a vaccine for a thing that did not exist. Keep going. If you have not done so, please make sure that you make reference in every investigation to the premeditation nature of this, because it was in September of 2019 that the world was informed that we were going to have an accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen so that by September 2020, there would be a worldwide acceptance of a universal vaccine template. That's their words right in front of you on the screen. The intent was to get the world to accept a universal vaccine template, and the intent was to use coronavirus to get there. And the last slide. This isn't it.
And of course, what he was referencing in September, October of 2019 was Event 201 sponsored by Bill Gates.
Advancing, so if I could have somebody do it. Let's read this, because we have to read this into the record everywhere I go. Until an infectious disease crisis is very real, present, and at the emergency threshold, it is often largely ignored. To sustain the funding base beyond the crisis, he said, we need to increase the public understanding for the need for medical countermeasures such as a pan-influenza or a pan-coronavirus vaccine. A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process. Sounds like public health? Sounds like the best of humanity? No, ladies and gentlemen, this was premeditated domestic terrorism stated at the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences in 2015, published in front of them. This is an act of biological and chemical warfare perpetrated on the human race, and it was admitted to in writing that this was a financial heist and a financial fraud. Investors will follow if they see profit at the end of the process. Let me conclude by making five very brief recommendations. The last slide. Nature was hijacked. This whole story started in 1965 when we decided to hijack a natural model and decide to start manipulating it. Science was hijacked when the only questions that could be asked were questions authorized under the patent protection of the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, and their equivalent organizations around the world. We didn't have independent science. We had hijacked science. And unfortunately, there was no moral oversight in violation of all of the codes that we stand for. There was no independent, financially disinterested, independent review board ever impaneled around coronavirus. Not once. Not once. Not since 1965. We do not have a single independent IRB ever impaneled around coronavirus. So morality was suspended for medical countermeasures. And ultimately, humanity was lost because we decided to allow it to happen. Our job today is to say no more gain-of-function research, period. No more weaponization of nature, period. And most importantly, no more corporate patronage of science for their own self-interest unless they assume 100% product liability for every injury and every death that they maintain. Thank you very much.
That was the longest clip that we ever played on a podcast. That was a 21-minute clip. But I thought that it was important for you guys to hear that in the full context. Everything we've ever told you about the pandemic has been true. Everything we've ever told you about the COVID virus and the spike protein and the vaccine. Everything that we've told you for these past 1,166 days has been true. And we will continue to bring you the truth of what's going on in the world as it relates to the King James Bible and end times Bible prophecy. Thank you so much for tuning in and for being part of the NTEB global family of Bible believers across America and around the world. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern time for a Sunday service. And I look forward to seeing you all there. And for those of you that will be at the beach or vacationing, a very happy Memorial Day. And if you see a veteran, thank a veteran for their service. Have a great weekend, everybody.
I was standing by my window on a cold and cloudy day when I saw the earth come rolling to carry my mother away. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Well, I went back home. Home was lonely for my mother, she was gone. All my family there was crying, for our home felt sad and alone. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by? Undertaker, Undertaker, won't you please drive slow? For that lady you are hauling, Lord, I hate to see her go. Will the serve?